All right, let's open up to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews 13. I'm going to talk about this morning a real valuable and important quality that all of us as believers need to have and exercise in our life, and that being the quality and characteristic of hospitality. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, "Let the love of the brethren continue, and do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Of course, the writer here is referring to story of Abraham, making reference to back in Genesis, the 18th chapter, when God came to visit him, when two angels were with him. And Abraham opened up his table and his time and cooked a meal for them and enjoyed their company and their presence just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah took place. Hospitality has been something, as I said, that has been a hallmark and a characteristic in the lives of followers of Jesus from all the way back in the New Testament. This was something that was discussed a great deal about. In fact, in one of the early writings after the church was begun, called the Didache, and it was talking about the teaching of the 12 apostles, there's a good number of references in that talking about hospitality and how you can show and how you are to show hospitality to others. And there were even references in there to those who would go and have hospitality shown to them, how not to abuse the extension of hospitality to you. So this was something that was very, very important to the early believers. And of course, the writer of Hebrews acknowledges this here, that we are to show hospitality to strangers. Wyatt Brown defines hospitality as a relationship between an individual and a family to an outsider on your home turf. The Greek word in the New Testament that refers and talks about hospitality literally means the love that a person has for a brother, but it is shown to a stranger. Now that's deep love there. A love that you actually feel for someone that is related to you as a brother, but you are taking that same love and you are giving it to somebody you don't even know. And you're demonstrating that in a number of ways to them. Hospitality is when somebody feels at home in your presence. They feel welcomed. They feel embraced. They feel accepted. And it has a whole lot more to do with your heart than your house. Because a lot of people think about hospitality as just simply opening up their home to somebody, but it has to do with your heart. You can open up your home to people a lot of times or your table, but not have the right heart, and you're not demonstrating hospitality to them. So it has a lot to do with the condition of our hearts toward other people. When you look at history and in cultures throughout the world, you'll find that hospitality has always been a highly prized virtue and quality, especially among cultures where you had what was known as honor codes, especially when you had back in the Middle Ages among the Europeans, especially in England, you had a code of chivalry that was written out. And hospitality was one of the most important qualities and characteristics in that code of chivalry. If you were a man's man, you were hospitable to others. And you demonstrated that and you practiced it and you modeled it before others. The Vikings, I made reference to them the other week. You know, a lot of people think these were just pure savages, and yet they were some of the most sophisticated, educated, cultured people in history. A man named Piper had written a paper on their aspect of hospitality in their culture. And it said, while Vikings are most often portrayed as brutal and lawless people who gain wealth and power by looting and pillaging without any apparent consequence, the Icelandic sagas depict a much more sophisticated culture. As described in many of the sagas, not only were these Scandinavians very organized in their social structuring, but they also had a firm set of values and cultural traditions. Of the many important values in this culture, one of the most prominent in all the sagas and tales is that of the importance of hospitality and being a gracious guest. The significance of this idea in Icelandic society is especially evident in the Havamal, the tale of Odin from the West Fjords, and the saga of the Confederates. These customary mannerisms were expected of everyone as a way of showing courtesy and respect. While hosts were expected to generously welcome and provide food and shelter for passing travelers despite their financial status, guests were likewise expected to be polite and appreciative toward their hosts, and sometimes even to reimburse them in the form of goods, services, or labor. Given the structure of Icelandic society, where the majority of people had to rely upon the yields of their own farm and occasionally trading to simply survive the winter, being welcoming and supportive to all would be a fundamental strategy for the survival of their population. For trading, traveling, and relaying news, it was essential to value hospitality when receiving guests and respectfulness when being received. In this culture, as well as in the biblical culture, you always demonstrated hospitality to somebody, not because they deserved it, but because it was always the right and the loving thing to do. God instituted this whole principle with His own people. If you go back all the way to the book of Exodus and look in Exodus chapter 22, even under the law, God wanted His people of Israel to practice hospitality to strangers. So this wasn't some new concept that was introduced into the church just by the disciples or by the Lord Jesus. This is something that is inherently natural, a part of the nature and characteristic of God. Not only does He ask us to show hospitality, God has been hospitable to us. He demonstrates hospitality to us. And He wants His people to model His practice of hospitality to the world around them. In Exodus chapter 22 and down in verse 21, He says, "You shall not wrong the stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And then talks about afflicting widows and so forth. The idea of not wronging a stranger says you'll welcome them in. Some translations actually talk about being hospitable to them and welcoming a stranger under in roof. And the reason why you do that is because you remember you were once a stranger. You were once an alien. You were once not a part. And you were welcomed in. I welcomed you in. So I want you to show this same kind of hospitality to others. Not because they deserve it, because it is the right and the loving thing to do. Look at the story that Jesus told when they came and asked Jesus, you know, about what's the most important commandment? And they talked about loving God and then loving your neighbors as yourself. And then the person said, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus started telling them the story that we have as a good Samaritan. This guy's walking along the road. He gets attacked by robbers. Everything he has is stolen from him. He's stripped naked of clothing. He's beaten and he's laid to the side of the road. And all the religious people, the priests, the Levites, they see the guy because he's a Samaritan, and Samaritans in the eyes of the Jews were dogs. I mean, they were not worthy of anything, period. They were garbage. They were trash. You didn't have anything to do with them. They went along and walked on the other side of the road to avoid him, defiling themselves. They weren't going to have anything to do with him. And then this Samaritan comes along, and who's the dog, and who's not worth being, you know, he's again seen as scum in the eyes of these Jews, and he's the one who takes this person, takes him to an inn, gets him taken care of, and tells the owner of the inn, "Look, if there's anything that's required of me, take care of him, make sure he gets well. When I get back, I'll pay you in full." And then Jesus asks the question, "Who's the neighbor?" And of course the answer, well, the guy that showed him mercy. And He said, "You go and do the same thing." Hospitality was shown in that. And again, it was not shown because somebody deserved it. A lot of times we only want to show hospitality and kindness to people that we think deserve it from us. We think are worthy of it. And the scripture doesn't indicate that at all. We show hospitality to others whether we feel like they deserve it or not, because it is always the right and the loving thing to do. Period. When you also look in the scripture that this is a way of life for a child of God, that when you show hospitality to people, you are showing them kindness in verbal and physical ways. It can be varied, but you're showing them the kindness of God, and you're treating them with love, you're treating them with respect, and you're treating them with dignity. And you are communicating to them that in your eyes, they have value. They are important, that they matter. So many times when people are ignored and not shown hospitality, what that communicates to them is that they are not valued. They are not worthy. They may not be good enough in your eyes to receive whatever kindness that they may need in their life. And yet again, God models hospitality to us. We in turn model the kind of hospitality He's shown to us, to others. Now, if we're modeling the wrong kind of hospitality, we're communicating something in error and false about God as well. We treat others the way Father treats us. So we show people this love and this respect, and we treat them in kind and a gracious and a courteous manner. And Scripture again indicates this is to be a way of life. Not just something that you do on the side as a child of God, but it's a way of life that you practice hospitality as a follower of Jesus. A couple places in the New Testament where the Scriptures talk about this. Let's look over Romans chapter 12. Paul mentions this to the church there at Rome about hospitality. And again, they were in a very important place where it could be shown to others. And you also have to remember, you know, Paul is writing not just to well-to-do people. The vast majority of these people that were getting these letters from him were poor, illiterate, uneducated people. Many of them were slaves. And yet, they were being asked to demonstrate generosity and kindness to strangers, to treat someone who you don't know like you would your own brother with the same kind of love. But though they may not have had much materially with which to do it, but they had some means or some ways they could demonstrate hospitality to others. Paul says in verse 12 of Romans 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing. Notice that he says that. Practicing, or literally pursuing, chasing after hospitality. So this is important. Paul doesn't just say, just show hospitality. He says you need to be pursuing it. Chasing and running hard after it to be a practice in your life as a child of God. And again, everything he's written in this letter up to this point, to the 12th chapter, is all demonstrating in a very spelled out way the good news of Christ, the gospel, and what it means for all humanity. And then he starts in chapter 12 and he starts making practical applications of you having been an experiencer of this good news. How is that going to flesh its way out in your life? And in the very moment, early moments of this practical talking, the very thing, one of the things he says is, as a child of God, because you have been shown grace, you have been shown mercy, pursue hospitality to other people. Chase after it. This is an important thing, he says, as a child of God, for you to have it in your life. But not only as a believer and as an individual do we do this, but this was also something that was expected of leaders within the church as well. If you go over a few letters there to Titus chapter 1, of course, Paul spells this out in 1 Timothy as well. But leaders in the church were also expected to practice hospitality. They were to model this to the people in the local fellowships in the first chapter of Titus as Paul was talking about the qualifications and the characteristics of a person who would be an elder. And again, an elder in the early church was not a position or a title. It was a function that someone performed, and they were recognized as such. It wasn't some office that they were holding like we think of it in some hierarchical way. They functioned in this way. They were gifted in this way, in this position of leadership in the local assemblies, and the people recognized them for this. But one of the things that Paul says about a leader in verse 7 of Titus 1, he says, for the overseer must not, what must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he'll be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. One of the first positive characteristics he lists of a leader in the early church was this person, man, must be a hospitable man. He must have an open door policy. His table is open to others. The means and the blessings that he has been blessed with, as we talked about weeks ago, he in turn is taking that and blessing other people with it. That's just to be a characteristic and quality of his life. But now, something else that's very interesting, if you go back two letters from there to 1 Timothy in the 5th chapter, not only was this a practice of expected of all the believers in the body of Christ, and then as well as the leaders, again, modeling it to the others, and the others would catch on and see how it was done by the leadership, but it was also something that Paul recognized should be being practiced among widows, and that they were known for this. In verse 9 of 1 Timothy 5, Paul says, a widow is to be put on the list. Now, they actually kept a list in the early church of needy widows. Just because you were unmarried or a widow, you know, at a certain age, didn't qualify just automatically to be on this list. There were certain qualifications and characteristics that had to be met to be put on this widow's list, and which the church, the ladies who were on this list, were going to be taken care of by the believers in that local assembly. They were going to make sure their physical, material needs were being met, and that they would be cared for. But Paul says, for this woman to be put on this list, it says, only if she's not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, if she's brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she's assisted those in distress, and if she's devoted herself in every good work. So there were qualifications, but here's one of them. She will have had to have shown hospitality to strangers. And she would be known for this. That she had an open door to anybody who was in need. And that they could come, they had a place to stay, there would be food on the table, they would be taken care of. And she was known for this in her life. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to have a lot materially to show hospitality. When we were living in Central America, and we would go up into the mountains, and Ellen, some of these folks had gone to some of these places with us, but I remember during harvest season, during coffee season, if we would go up and the people would see us coming, it didn't matter. They were out in the fields, they were harvesting stuff, they would drop everything they were doing. They would invite us up to their house. We'd sit on the front porch. They would go in and roast some coffee that, you know, that had been freshly dried out, the beans, grind them up and roast it there on the stove. And then we'd have coffee, and they would bring out the best of whatever they had. If it was a banana, if it was a stalk of sugar cane to chew on, if it was something else, and they would sit, and they would always, always have time to talk, to fellowship, and again, wherever they were at, it didn't matter. Whatever they had, the best of what they had, they always brought out. And it wasn't just to us. And people say, well, because you were the white missionaries, that's why they treated you. No, they treated their friends. They treated neighbors that way. That was just the way of life in their culture. You had an open door policy. And when you hear the old saying, you know, from Hispanics, mi casa es su casa, my house is your house. That's not just a saying. They mean that. Because again, in their culture, they understood. And we could go places with some people down there, and it didn't matter if it was 100 miles from where we were at. And if there was any connection with anybody, we had a place to stay. We had a roof over our heads. We would have food on the table without any expectation of any recompense in return from us. So we saw this modeled and demonstrated, and it was even more so done among believers down there. That's just the way of life for them as they practiced it. And yet, you come back to the United States, and we're so stinking scared of people. We're afraid to open up our lives to other people. We're always looking for what's wrong with that person. What kind of danger do they pose to me? I might get hurt, or I might get, you know, in trouble if I show kindness to this person. We have built walls around us in our culture around here in the United States to isolate ourselves from everybody else because we're so afraid of other people who aren't like us many times. Churches have done the same thing. They've got walls built up around them that people who aren't like them, don't talk like them, don't look like them, feel when they come through the doors many times. They're not welcome. They don't sense a hospitable spirit from the people there because they're different. And yet Paul says, as a believer, one of the hallmark characteristics of your life is that people should feel at home in your presence. When God invites us into His presence and brings us into a relationship with Him, we always, some people refer to it as coming home, because that's exactly what it is. And because that's exactly how you feel, you have come home. You have found your place of rest and peace and acceptance and love in Him. And He wants us to communicate that to the world around us. And a lot of people say, well, I know that that's what we're supposed to do. And I know that Scripture says that, you know, hospitality is something we should practice. But how do we do that? What are things that we can do to show this love like you have for a brother to a stranger? I just want to think for a few minutes about some practical ways that we can do this in our lives. Speak to other people. Sometimes it's not just what you say to other people, it's how you say it that makes the difference. People don't only hear the content of your words, they also hear and sense the spirit behind them when you speak to them. People can sense sometimes whether it's coming from a place of genuineness or if you're just putting on a show. And it's not real. But you don't really mean it. Start speaking to other people. Here's something that's interesting. If you try this little experiment, I was reading an article recently in the Men's Health magazine. It was talking about a guy who said he practiced. He said every day he was going to try to find 10 people for 10 days and just look at them and say, hello, strangers. How many times, and you think about it, we all do this. When we're walking down the street or we're walking in the mall and people are approaching us, what do most of us do? We put our heads down and we look away, or we get our phones out and we pay attention to that. We don't want to engage them. We're afraid to look at them. Why? Because they might talk to us. And I don't know them. That makes me feel weird. But this guy said he practices that. He said he's a single dad. He would take his kids to school and stuff like that. And he said there were people that he had to deal with on a daily basis. Some of them, from his opinion up until that point, were cranky, were crusty, all that kind of stuff. And he said, so I just started doing it. He said, I started looking up and saying, hello, hello. And he said, to my surprise, he said, actually, when I started doing that, he said, some people, their response was like, you spoke. You actually engaged me. But he said, here's what I noticed, he said, in my own life. And psychological studies prove this out. He said, after 10 days of doing that, and he said, what I found out was I wasn't just getting with 10 people and say, okay, I've done my quota for the day. I started finding this became a way now of me of living. And it was a whole lot more than 10 people on a daily basis. But he said, number one, he said, I became a more positive person. Not only that, he said, I was not negative. I was not cranky. I was not looking for the negatives in other people. I didn't have time to think about the negative stuff. I was trying to focus on being a positive person in my attitude. And he said, not only that, I was genuinely, truly much happier after that 10 days of just simply speaking to somebody and saying hello in a nice and kind way. See, hospitality, as I said, doesn't just mean that you're opening your table up to somebody or your home, even though that was one of the many ways it was practiced. It's also talking with folks and making them feel at home in your presence by the things that you say to them. How about this one? Most of us go out during the week and we eat somewhere and we have somebody that's serving us. And sometimes the people that serve us make mistakes. Or we go through a grocery line and we've got to check, you know, people at a checkout counter checking us out. And they may not do something like we want it to do. Now, our tendency and natural response is to communicate to them that they failed, they didn't do a good job. And you know how we're going to do that? We'll either tell them, we'll jot a little nasty note down, or we just won't give them a good tip. If a tip at all. I've seen people do that. I've watched people sit at the table, and like, they don't deserve a tip, they didn't do this, blah, 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 blah. Yet they don't stop and think. They don't know what that guy or that lady's been going through for the day. They don't know what they've been facing in the last week. They don't know whether they got good news, bad news, or whatever that. They have no idea. So just try, if somebody does something wrong out there when they're serving you in some way, to be gracious and kind to them and communicate that to them through your words. And if it's a server and you have the monetary means to do it, give them something a little special. And even jot down on the tip, thank you for your service. Just demonstrate some kindness to them. But here's something that's very important when you're showing hospitality to other people. And the scripture spells this out because this is a natural tendency of human beings to do this. Look over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And Peter hits the nail on the head right here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Some translation says, without grumbling. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When you show hospitality, especially if it's opening up your home, your table to someone, our tendency can be that if it gets to be beyond what we're used to, or they get beyond our space of time that we want to allow them, we start complaining. We grumble about having to do it. You know, let's say you've invited somebody to your home. You know, you're opening your home up to a stranger you don't even know, or you're doing something kind for somebody and you're getting ready for it. And in the preparation process, things are not going just like they should. Things are not running smoothly like you think they should. And one of the first things that we start to do is, why did I even plan this in the first place? And we start griping about it. Peter says, look, when you're showing hospitality to other people, do it without complaining and grumbling. Do you think God grumbles and complains when He has to show us hospitality? Do you think He gets all worked up about the fact that He's got to treat us with kindness and make us feel at home in His presence every moment of every day, that He gets upset about it? No. The old saying is, you need to make people feel at home even if you wish they were. And we've all had people sometimes in our lives that have, we feel like, well, you've overstayed your welcome, you know, that kind of thing. But again, we need to demonstrate graciousness and kindness to them in love, not grumbling or complaining. And then the scripture tells us that when we do this, we need to do it willingly. This is a choice that we make. We're choosing to do this and show hospitality, choosing to speak gracious words to other people. We're making the choice to do that, again, not because people deserve it or have earned it, but because it is the right and the loving thing to do. And we do it joyfully. Our attitude should be one of joy when we demonstrate hospitality to other people. Why? Because, again, it pleases the heart of God to show hospitality to you and I. He is filled with absolute immense joy at being able to demonstrate that to you and me every day. So when we do it to other people, we need to do it in a joyful way. Right now, sitting where you are, think about somebody you may know that should or could be encouraged today or in this coming week by you demonstrating an act of hospitality to them. We can all think of someone, I'm sure of that. Somebody that you know would be touched in their life by you demonstrating some sort of hospitality to them, either by word or by deed. And then, as you think about that, begin to look for a way to do it. and demonstrate that to them. Maybe invite someone to your home. Have them over for a meal. Get to know them. It would be amazing for even in this fellowship right here, about how many people only know each other on a surface level, even though you may have gone to church for years together. But your relationship and your knowledge of each other is about that deep. Invite someone over for a meal. Not only do that, maybe buy somebody a meal. Maybe when you're out to eat and you see somebody, just randomly pick somebody and go pay for their meal. Now you say, well, I ain't got the money to be 6 or 7. Now, I'm not talking about doing that. Do it within the means of what God's blessed you with, but look for somebody to help. You know, maybe you're in the line at Starbucks, if you go there or wherever you might go, and you pay for the person's coffee or meal behind you. Just show some hospitality. Again, it's a practice that we have to incorporate into our lives. It's something that we have to start choosing to do, because for us as human beings, especially here in the United States, it is not a natural thing for us to do. People say, well, in the South it is. No, it's not. You know who most Southerners show hospitality to? People they know and feel safe with. Not people that they don't know. People that they don't know many times still feel like outsiders, even though they may have been around them for 10 or 15 years. Because they're not in that little particular section of the country, or they hadn't been all, they weren't raised there or something like that. People still feel like they're left on the outside. Find someone to demonstrate that to them. Provide for somebody who has a need this week. We talked about this weeks ago, and we talked about this year, us choosing to bless others because we've been blessed and to be a blessing. And you have no idea, as we do that, whether the joy, the excitement that comes from seeing God meet somebody else's needs through you. You got to remember that. God is not going to make manna fall from heaven 99% of the time to take care of people's needs. How He's going to come to them and meet their needs is through you and me. By us physically stepping out and being the channel through which that blessing comes, whether it's financially, whether it's something material, whether it is through that kind word or gracious act, that's how He's going to do it. That's how people are going to see that God really is love, because He's loving them through us. And the joy of seeing that happen. This past week, I had it demonstrated so beautifully as I watched in this group that I'm a part of, there was a brother in there who had a medical need that came up with his heart. He's in a tough, difficult financial situation because he'd been helping out his mother-in-law, and they were behind 1 month on a mortgage payment. One of the guys got wind of it and contacted a group of us and said, brothers, Brother Jack's got a need. And what do you think we need to do? I watched within 10 minutes. That man's mortgage payments caught up financially in 10 minutes. Not only that, but more to spare to get him back going again regularly with his finances and getting him straightened and situated and being able to move forward. And I watched grown men on little videos screaming, shouting, crying because of the need that was met within less than 10 minutes. I mentioned to one of the guys on there, I said, Derek, I said, how many times have you seen that done in a church? Where people weren't struggling and it was just taken care of just like that because people reached down out of compassion and met a need. No, they got to have committee meetings about it. They got to have planning meetings about it. They got to say, well, we'll pray about it. Rather than just demonstrating a need that was there and present and the love of God being shown to somebody. And then the joy that was brought back to the givers in return. So it is an opportunity for us, hospitality, to meet the needs of other people. And you see, here's the thing. You and I know what the Scripture says. We need to treat other people the way we would like to be treated. If you needed to be shown some hospitality, wouldn't you appreciate it? Don't you appreciate it when it is shown to you? And so if we expect to be treated that way, we treat others that way. The Scripture says that we need to do all that we do as unto the Lord. Because Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, and you know what he was talking about? Showing physical meeting of needs in those who couldn't take care of themselves, strangers. You clothed them. You fed them. You gave them water when they were thirsty. You visited them in prison. You did these things. And he said, as often as you did it to the least of these, guess what? You did it to me. I wonder how many of us would be rude to Jesus. I wonder how many of us would refuse to show him hospitality if he was serving us or in need. We would say, no way would I do that. Boy, Jesus would be welcome. Well, he says, listen, how you treat other people is a manifestation of how you would treat me. We have opportunities to demonstrate the love of God through hospitality. And in the end, as I said, God has shown his hospitality to us. He created a universe that he made, and he placed us in it. He put us in this beautiful world that he made and gave us everything we need and does every day to live. He keeps showing us hospitality, not just to his children, but to the whole world. And he's opened up his doors and welcomed everybody in through what he did on the cross. All the dwelling places in Father's house, Jesus said, are open for everybody to come in and enjoy. The table, the feast is set. For everybody, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, because God is that much of a longing in his heart to show hospitality to people in his love. Not only that, he invites us into the fellowship of the Trinity. The joy and the love that they share between Father, Son, and Spirit, we are welcomed into that as well and made to feel at home there. Because that is our true home. And so this week, find some people. Find some ways to demonstrate hospitality. Do what Paul said. Pursue it. Chase after it. Make this a regular practice in your life. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And to demonstrate the love of God to people. Because you and I have been shown that same kind of love from him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being hospitable to us. Thank you for demonstrating your goodness and your graciousness to us. I pray, Father, that you will help all of us to practice this wonderful, wonderful gift that you've given to us of hospitality to others. This week, as we live our lives, make us sensitive to the needs of people around us. Make us sensitive to the strangers we come across. In ways that we might be able to bless them and encourage them and demonstrate your love to them. Thank you for showing us such kindness in the way that you do it each and every day. In Jesus' name.